Protests take place across Canada as the carbon tax kicks in. Quebec civil rights activist Dan Philip dies at 87. New StatsCan data shows that Canada has exported armored vehicles and weapons to Israel since October 7th. Israel's parliament passes a law banning Al Jazeera from broadcasting. Witnesses describe horrific scenes at Al-Shifa Hospital in the wake of Israeli army withdrawal. And the UN says the humanitarian crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo is at a breaking point. Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. Protests took place across the country yesterday against the carbon tax, which came into effect. In several locations, crowds and vehicles drew up to block highways, while some protesters showed up at Parliament Hill. Several protesters expressed their opposition to the tax, saying that it added another financial burden on top of the rising cost of living facing Canadians. In Newfoundland and Labrador, Premier Andrew Fury called for an emergency meeting of leaders in Canada, saying the tax would not work in his province. Various premiers made their case against the tax last week, arguing that it added to inflation, which it doesn't, but anyway. Meanwhile, 200 economists signed an open letter defending the tax, saying it was the most cost-efficient way to address Canada's emission targets. Now, recall that Quebec has had a carbon tax in place since 2007. It was first imposed as a tax levied against energy producers. And then in 2013, the Quebec government set a carbon tax at a rate that followed the international cap and trade markets. And honestly, it's such a non-issue for us here that it feels surprising that anyone is protesting about it. But culture wars, yada, yada, yada. I get it, I guess. Next, we'll stay in Quebec, where longtime civil rights activist Dan Philip has passed away at the age of 87. Philip's death was announced by the Black Coalition of Quebec, where he was the former president. He dedicated his life to addressing systemic racism and discrimination in the province and fighting against police brutality. The Black Coalition of Quebec described him as, quote, a man of conviction and tirelessness, always ready to give his time and to express frankly what he thought of bad deeds or social abuses, contrary to the public interest. He has been and remains a source of inspiration and will remain in the collective memory for his consistency and remarkable patience, unquote, the organization said in a statement. Next to more news about what we know about the weapons that Canada is sending to Israel. Alex Kosh at The Maple is reporting that StatsCan data has come out that shows that from October to January, Canadian suppliers have sent goods to Israel that are grouped under three categories: tanks and other armored fighting vehicles and parts, parts and accessories of military weapons, and telescopic sights for fitting to arms, periscopes, telescopes, etc. Now, nearly $700,000 worth of goods under the armored fighting vehicle category was sent from Ontario, and just under $30,000 was sent for quote-unquote military weapons sent from Quebec. Kosh notes that it isn't clear that all of the items in the categories were used in military applications. He highlights that these numbers, quote, raise further questions about the Trudeau government's repeated claims that it has only allowed non-lethal military exports to flow to Israel since the state began its brutal war on Gaza last October, unquote. The StatsCan data doesn't indicate that the recipients of these goods are always used by militaries or, quote, conventional security forces, unquote, unlike the data that is released by Global Affairs Canada. So in this case, it is impossible to know exactly what the materials are being used for or by whom. But Kelsey Gallagher from the group Project Plowshares says this, quote, there's certainly concern when we see values like that and armored vehicles being transferred to Israel. Certainly, if they're being transferred to Israeli security forces, these transfers occurred after the onset of Israel's operation. So the obvious concern here is that these could be Canadian-made pieces of equipment that could be utilized in Israel's occupation, unquote. Now to international news, starting in Israel, where the parliament passed a law that would allow the government to ban several TV channels, including and namely Al Jazeera. The law would let the government ban the broadcasting of any channels it deems a threat to national security. The Israeli government has long accused Al Jazeera of an anti-Israel bias, but since October 7, criticisms have reached a fever pitch as the network was accused of having ties to Hamas. Al Jazeera has vehemently denied these claims. In a statement, a spokesperson for the network said, quote, Netanyahu could not find any justifications to offer the world for his ongoing attacks on Al Jazeera and press freedom, except to present new lies and inflammatory slanders against the network and the rights of its employees. Al Jazeera holds the Israeli prime minister responsible for the safety of its staff and network premises around the world, following his incitement and false accusation in a disgraceful manner, unquote. Al Jazeera is one of the very few foreign media that has reporters in Gaza, and it's thanks to their work that getting reports of what has been taking place on the ground has even been possible. Its Arabic channel has been carrying nearly wall-to-wall nonstop coverage of the war on Gaza, including carrying press conferences from Israeli officials and speaking to Israeli representatives and politicians. Al Jazeera was the first Arabic language news channel when it launched in the 1990s. Since October 7th, Israel has been accused of deliberately targeting and attacking the network's reporters. In January, it was accused of killing journalist Hamza Al-Dahdou, the son of Al Jazeera Gaza bureau chief Wael Al-Dahdou. And, of course, we know that Israel has murdered the highest number of journalists in general in any modern war. In related news, the Israeli army has abruptly withdrawn from Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza after saying it completed its military objectives there. Al-Shifa is Gaza's largest medical complex, and this was the second time it was raided since October 7th. Israel's justification for Israeling the complex both times was that it harbored Hamas fighters and operations. Eyewitnesses describe horrific scenes of violence and torture carried out against patients, medical staff, and people seeking refuge in the medical complex. People fleeing describe seeing executions carried out by Israeli soldiers, including medical staff and civilians. The hospital is now completely out of service, which is the case for most of Gaza's hospitals, according to the UN. The UN also says that at least 100 patients still remain in Al-Shifa, with at least 28 people in critical condition there. And that report is made possible from journalists in Gaza who work for Al Jazeera. Finally, to the Democratic Republic of Congo, activists and aid workers say that the humanitarian situation is at a breaking point in the eastern part of the country as the war there escalates. According to the head of the UN's DRC peacekeeping mission, one out of four people in the country is at risk of hunger and malnutrition. Recall that fighting between the army and armed groups, specifically M23, has been intensifying since February. Armed groups have been vying for control over eastern parts of the country, which are rich in minerals like cobalt and coltan, which are used in batteries and electronics. The fighting now has almost reached the eastern city of Goma, where hundreds of thousands of people have sought refuge from the fighting. As the fighting has spread, it has also intensified, making it difficult for organizations to provide aid to those who need it. Those are your headlines for Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Nora. You know what? We're coming to Edmonton. We finally have the tickets on sale. So if you're in Edmonton, if you've got friends in Edmonton, please help us spread the word so we don't miss any Sandy and Nora fans to get them to our show. The show is April 20th at the Citadel Theatre in Edmonton. It's an afternoon show. It starts at 3 o'clock and you can get tickets at their box office. That's the Citadel Theatre. Just search Sandy and Nora. I hope to see a lot of you there, and I'm going to keep plugging that to make sure that people know that we'll be there. You are listening to this podcast at sandyandnora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. It's Tuesday already. We had a stat holiday yesterday and I had a wonderful 4 days off, and I'm happy to be back at it with you today. Have a good one.